Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate, joined in the studio this morning by one of my favorite and recently quite frequent guests, nurse practitioner and coordinator of palliative care at Upstate, Patricia Knox. Welcome back, Pat.
Thanks, Tricia. Glad to be here.
Now, you were just here with Dr. Gregory Eastwood. We talked about advanced directives and what they have to do with palliative care and end of life. This is really a very different topic, isn't it?
Yes, it's a part of it also.
It is. It's kind of where palliative care meets technology. So let's kind of set the stage. Let's first talk about exactly what palliative care is and what the needs are at the time of life.
Okay, palliative care is a philosophy of care. And what it is that you want to celebrate a person's life. You want to ensure that they have the best quality of life for whatever time their life will be. It means addressing not only their physical symptoms of pain, but also addressing their spiritual and psychosocial needs. So we work very closely with patients and we identify what their needs are. And then we obviously include family and friends because they are also part of a person's care.
And of course, this is all at the end of life. And end of life, when you're talking about palliative care, correct me if I'm wrong, but it could be hours or it could be weeks or perhaps even months, but it's kind of that care at the end that you're not trying to cure somebody, you're just trying to make sure that they are comfortable.
Absolutely. So you may start with a patient and family when they're diagnosed and know that they're not going to be cured, or you may be called in because of a traumatic event, because of an accident, or because of a sudden illness. So you're absolutely right. And it will be being with the patient and the family during that time frame, whatever that is.
Now, you specifically are working with patients who are in the hospital. So we're not talking about people who are dying at home right now, right? We're talking about people who are in the hospital. And you're talking about actually at least two parties. You're talking about the person who's dying, and you're talking about the loved one or the caregiver who's with them. Talk to us a little bit about the needs of that person.
Well, oftentimes the family or the person who is at the bedside has many other issues they have to deal with. They either have employment or there's distance or there's family. So trying to help address some of those needs is also a very valuable part of what we do. We want to facilitate as much as we can. We want to make those connections for people because we think at the end of life there's very important issues that need to be taken care of, not only for the person themselves but for their loved one.
Well, yeah, I mean, what you're talking about here is facing realities. You're talking about some closure that's going to need to take place. And maybe the patient is conscious and maybe not. Maybe the patient knew this was going to happen and maybe not. So I've got to think there are emotions that are even beyond sadness and grief. There are emotions like guilt or anger. Talk to me a little bit about those kinds of things.
Well, absolutely. Everyone has a number of feelings when you're faced with the fact that you may no longer be with that loved one. I shared with you earlier, Dr. Ira Byock had statements to all of us that we need to say a certain number of things and do a number of things in order for us to have peace and closure and for the person who is left behind. We need to say, I love you. We need to say, I forgive you or you forgive me, and be able to say goodbye. So for those people who are at the bedside, we need to help facilitate having that for them. We work very closely also with spiritual care and with the social workers so that all of us as a team can help provide that support and those types of closure for the family or the loved ones.
Yeah, you really have to make sure that nothing is left unsaid or nothing is left unspoken. You've got to make sure that there is that closure. Now, you're dealing with a very interesting aspect of this, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear about this. I think this is just so wonderful and so exciting. It's kind of like where the best of care can be, and that is the use of technology to make some of this happen, because the right people aren't always there for the patient, are they?
That's correct, for many reasons. They could be having to be in another country. They could be in a job that doesn't allow them to be there, or just plain distance and timing doesn't allow them to be at the bedside of their loved one as they would like to be.
Right. So someone you love is dying, and you can't be there to hold their hand. I mean, that would be the ideal, would be for you to be there and be able to touch them. So you've actually come up with a way to bring families together. Tell us about it.
Well, I would love to. We have started to use the technology of a laptop and a webcam and the internet. I have to say that the foundation supported us.
Which foundation? Make sure that we give them credit.
Upstate University Foundation.
Right.
Friend Indeed was able to support us. We wrote a grant, and they have supplied us with the webcam, the computer, and with a cart. So what we've done is taken this cart to the bedside. Again, the IMT people have also
Our technology people,
and Joanne Shoup, thank you very much, has assisted me in being able to bring a new method of connecting patients and families. We've taken this computer to the bedside of many, many cases and connected across the world in many cases loved ones so they can be able to witness not only some of the sights of their loved one, but know what some of the rituals and what some of the experiences are that their loved one is going through.
I think the best way for listeners to understand this is for you to tell us a couple of stories. Can you do that?
I can do that. We had one gentleman who was in the ICU, and he was dying. His family knew that he would not recover. They wanted to have his family be part of what was going on.
But his family was
in another continent.
Ah.
So we were able to, again, with the help of Joanne, be able to connect to seven countries on another continent.
No, wait a minute. Not seven. Seven countries?
Seven countries on another continent.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, absolutely. And we were able to connect his mother, his brothers, sisters, nieces, and nephews in these seven countries because they couldn't be at his bedside. So they were able to watch as the religious ritual was given to this man and as his family made the decisions as to allowing nature to take its course.
So decisions needed to be made at the end of his life. Was there somebody here locally too?
Absolutely. His wife and his young children were with him at the bedside.
And then you hooked people up in seven other parts of the world that were all related to this person who was dying as well. And the whole family was together, in effect, in one room.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's almost an impossibility without the use of technology, and yet I've not heard of this being done anywhere else. Do you know if it's being done elsewhere?
No, I've not heard of it at all, and actually I have looked on different websites of listservs that I belong to, and I think that we are unique in using this technology to connect people at end of life.
And let's help our listeners make sure that they understand that what's happening now is people are seeing their loved ones because you're using these web cameras. They're able to talk to them because you can use the microphones and the speakers.
Absolutely.
And so short of being there and able to touch them and hold their hands, then they really are in the same room together. You have other stories you can share?
Well, I do. And one that is especially heartwarming to me was of a young woman who was dying of cancer, and her son had not been able to be home for over a year. And we were able to connect this mother and her son while he was away, and they were able to see each other for the first time in over a year because they were not sure he would be able to get home before she died.
Oh.
It was an absolutely wonderful, wonderful experience. The look of happiness on both their faces was something that I'll never forget and I think was especially heartwarming.
Well, I can see where there would be a couple of instances that beyond the fact that this is heartwarming and emotionally gratifying for people, it can also be huge in terms of decision-making.
Absolutely. We had another case where a woman and her husband were here in this country, but he was unable to make decisions. She had to make these decisions. We connected them across in another country with his family so that she was able to have them hear from the physician, see the patient as he was in the ICU, and listen to what the decisions were going to be that she had to make. She really and truly felt that she could not make these alone without their input. So we were able to facilitate that, and that was a comfort, I think, not only for her knowing that she didn't make these decisions alone, but it was a comfort to that brother and his family who could not be at the bedside to help.
Well, and sure, and even that's going to have long-lasting effects because now they understand what she had to go through here. They can better understand. There won't be blame later. There won't be guilt later. There won't be those unspoken words. There will be a connection that didn't exist before.
Absolutely.
And if I mean, let's throw in here too that this doesn't have to be other countries. I mean, this could be just somebody who doesn't have the transportation to get here in time.
Absolutely.
They might be just across town, but because they can't get to the hospital on time, you have that technology to hook them up so that they can see their loved ones.
Absolutely.
I think this is a wonderful story. You're on the cutting edge, clearly. I can't wait to see where you can go with this. I can see this. All of a sudden, people going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we didn't think of it before because it's so obvious. Pat Knox, thank you so much for telling us about your new project, your new program. Can't wait for you to come back and tell us about more success stories.
Thanks, Tricia. I'll be glad to.
And listeners, we do need to take a break, but we will be back in just a few minutes. Please stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.